Blog Talk Radio.
In these crazy times that we live in, impending war, people driving cars into crowds, people just trying to hurt people, you know? There's one thing we definitely need more of, and that's love.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King. We ask, Abba, that you forgive us for our sins. We ask, Abba, that you hear our prayer. Abba, thank you for allowing us to see another day, for allowing us to see another Shabbat, for allowing us to come before you and rest in your glory, Abba. Thank you for setting apart this time for us, setting apart this time for your family and anybody who wants to enjoy it with you, Abba. Abba, we thank you for protecting us throughout the week, for strengthening us to overcome the obstacles of the adversary and giving us the wisdom to defeat him. We thank you, Abba, for healing us and protecting us throughout the week. We thank you for keeping your hand upon everyone who was hurting physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, Abba. And we ask that if anyone is still hurting, if anyone still needs healing, Abba, that you continue to heal. You continue to heal our Ema. Continue to heal our sister Aliora and her family as they continue to grieve. Continue to heal our brother Yaka'el, our brother Shafu'el, and any and everybody that I miss. Sister Danielle, Sister Chomi, anybody and anybody who I have missed. Abba, you continue to heal. Continue to bring them together, make them whole, Abba, according to your will. Giving them exactly what they need, Abba. Abba, we ask that you continue to open our minds, open our hearts up to your word, Abba, and continue to reveal to us, Abba. Continue to bring us close to you, Abba. When we go to the right and to the left, we thank you for chastising us in your mercy and in your grace, Father. Just leading us and directing us back to the path and back to your path. Abba, we thank you for not leaving us in deception, not leaving us or abandoned. We just want to give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. It's your brother, Daywell. Yeah, magnify the Torah and make it honorable. And I hope you had a great week. You know, if you did, it's the Shabbat. Lay your burdens down and ask in the glory that is our Heavenly Father. So today, family, we're just going to talk in general today about some things, and I'm going to get some stuff off my chest, too. You know, because I've been going, like I said, I've been going through it for a little bit now. And, you know, I was showing me things that I need to work on, and I'm going to be working on it. And, you know, he's getting the wrinkles out, getting the spots out, getting the blemishes out, you know, showing me things that I need to work on, you know, to be that man, that son, to be what he desires, you know. So, but one of the things, family, that I don't want to say that I have art with y'all, but I was a little disappointed last week, you know, because
every brother, every sister that teaches,
you know, and
especially here on Blog Talk,
you know, we stress that if you need something, you know, put it out there. And I hope everybody's hearing. But we stress that if you need something, put it out there, you know, put it on the line. And in the last couple Blog Talks, you could just chimed in and said it. So last week, you know, when we were saying, I asked if anybody needed anything, and everybody was silent. I said, come on, y'all, if y'all need anything, whatever y'all had, then I said prayer. And then everybody started chiming in with prayer. Well, prayer is a need, y'all. You know, we don't have to specify if you need prayer to put it out there. Put it out there. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, we are at your disposal. Don't hold these things back. Whatever it is, put it out there. You know? So, Donkey, but whatever it is you need, put it out there. You know, and look how many prayer requests came in after the such. You know, we shouldn't have to specify that, y'all. You know, especially, you know, we got elders within the congregation. And I'm not saying this for elders. I'm not saying this because it's the younger ones too. You know, I'll be looking at some of these threads and it say, oh, praying for this said, or I'm praying for you, and I don't see what we're supposed to be praying for. I missed it because there's so many threads, and, you know, we're not the most tech-savvy congregation. You know? We're not the most tech-savvy one. We have a whole bunch of threads. It's liking and loving the image, and I don't know what image it is. It's like 6-7 threads. I don't know what image you're talking about. You know, so it's important when these things are said or are being there, you know, and especially on this day. You know, one, you don't have to wait. Wait, number one. You don't have to wait to Shabbat for a prayer request or to put anything that you want out there. You don't have to wait. Put it out there. All right? But number two, when we are gathered together on the Shabbat and we know the presence of Abba is here, we know beyond a surety, now we ought to know beyond a surety that he hears our prayers. Right? We ought to know that also, all right? But we know beyond a surety today his presence is here. I love my brother. You hear me? I love you, man. But we know beyond a fact on Shabbat that we're in his presence, you know. And we have the parable where Yahushua says, Father, he gave us the parable about the woman going beyond the unjust judge because she wanted something. And the judge denied her. And she came back, the judge denied her. And she just kept on coming back and bothering this judge. The judge said, you know what? I don't fear man or God, but I'm going to give this woman what she wants because she's bothering me that much. She wanted that bad. So I'm going to give her what she wants.
But that's how we're supposed to be. Anytime that woman got a hankering to go before that judge, look, I'm going to go before him or with this case, in that case, because this is something that I want. Well, that's how it is. It don't make a difference how small or how big it is. You know, put it out there. You know, and I'm saying all this in love. Saying all this in love, y'all. So put it out there. You know, because the way the Most High corrects me and he tells me different things, it's like, okay. And again, I'm not offended by any of y'all. I don't hold any grudge. I hope nobody holds a grudge against me. But y'all use us. That's what we're here for. You know, we're here to be used. We're here to work for you. So, with that being said, you know, this week I watched a couple different things, to be honest. I watched the little thing with the interview with Cat Williams, and then I watched an interview with I think it's Desmond Wilson. It's the guy who played Lamont on Sanford and Son. And he had a really interesting interview too. You know, they're talking about Hollywood and you know, the way Lamont, I'm going to call him Lamont, or Desmond, I call him Desmond, he kind of separated himself from Hollywood, you know. But the one thing that both of them had in common that, you know, this is something that kind of resonated with me, is that they both said they had a calling on their life. And they knew exactly what it is they were supposed to do at a very young age. You know, Cat Williams got into it with his father at a young age. But, you know, he was talking about Jesus and all these other things. He knew that he was destined to leave their house and be great and all that stuff. So, he got into it and he left. He said he hitchhiked all the way down to Florida. You know, he got a trucker's truck and rode down to Florida. And then he was homeless down there, yada, yada, yada. And all that stuff. And then he learned some comedy. He started doing some comedy, and his first role was Money Mike in a movie, and that's where things really took off for him. But, you know, one of the things that he was talking about is that this was the calling on his life. You know, he was destined for greatness. He talked about how Jesus left the house at 13, so he knew he was all right, and all kinds of stuff. And Desmond Wilson said the same. He was like, from the time that he was two, you know, he could dance. He could really dance. And that's what he was known for. No, he wasn't really known for the acting. He was known for dancing. And so he went to a school for gifted people. He was middle class. His parents were like middle class in Harlem. And so he went for acting, dancing, singing, and and something else. But basically, entertaining. And, you know, after a while, he landed on Sanford and Son, and you know, they had, him and Red Fox had a good relationship that became strained over the years. He tried to help Red Fox. He got to talking about how, after the, because he was actually talking about Norman Lear, right? And all these people was trying to give Norman Lear all this credit for the show. And you know, Lamont was like, nah, it wasn't nothing like that. You know, I'm going to set the record straight on that. So he said a lot of really interesting things, too, because he was talking about how Norman Lear was in his shows actually started this whole LGBTQ infiltration. If you look back at All in the Family and he said another show where he was talking about how they had these butch women start creeping in to these shows. And he said some very interesting things, you know, talking about being mob tied and down in Vegas and all this stuff because Sanford and Son didn't want to pay him. So, you know, he went to Vegas and was performing on Vegas. And whenever you're in Vegas, you're tied to the mob back then. So he was talking about all the white people that was, who is it? They're still there, Wayne Newton. And who else used to, he was just naming names. And he was like, you don't think these people are tied to the mob? And he was like, one of the guys asked him, he said, he asked him something that he should not have asked. And the guy was like, yo, do you want people to show up at my door now? You know, if you're talking about the FBI and or the mob. You know, because once you're in, you're in. You know, but you think about the calling on their life and the way things went down. And I got to thinking about the calling on my life and how even after all this time, I've been still preparing and fine-tuning me. It's not like, you know, you can rush these things. You know, you can't rush them. When that particular time comes, you have to be prepared for it. You know, you have to be prepared for it. So, I'm going to read some stuff that you're familiar with. This is in the fourth book of Maccabees. But we're going to read the Brother Baruch says, yep, I remember one of the episodes. There's a guy on YouTube that's what he talked about praising LGBTQ and children. Yeah. Yeah. You know, as I say, it was a very, because you think about how things go, right? Even when Richard Pryor and all these people were saying these things back then about the LGBTQ community, what they are now. You know, it was a very slow, subtle thing that went on and on and on, and now it's mainstream. It's in everything. You know, you have to have representation in their movie, in a movie or whatever. I was watching this, I was watching the show, and it's about this gangster family. It's called called Family Business. And one of the sons is gay. One of the sons is gay. Now, he's not the hard one or anything. He's not a killer, anything like that. But he will kill. You know, but this they're a black family and they mob tied. They tied in with the mob. But you know, it's like they have to have at least one of them in there. It has to be there, you know, or a girl that go both ways, or it gotta be. They have to have this representation in there where it snuck in, and it was a real slow thing from way back when. You know, they changed the narrative. Changed the goalposts, moved the goalposts, whatever. You know, to what it is they want now, what it is now. Excuse me. All right, we're gonna read in the fourth book of Maccabees. But I just want to read this one part, right? It talks about the keynote, all right? It says, the keynote is courage. You know, the whole point of them writing this story and recording these stories is to give us courage, you know, to give us courage at the time. Because we read what happened in the Maccabees. We have Eleazar not showing, not defiling himself in front of the children. You know how much courage it took to do this. We had the seven brothers, each one killed in front of their mother. And they willingly gave up their life. And, you know, down to the very last boy, they was trying to get him to turn. He said, nope, I'm just going with my brothers, and just jumped in. Willingly giving up their life for that moment. They were being, you know, courage. But it says the keynote is courage. The writer begins with an impassioned statement of the philosophy of inspired reason. We like to think of this 20th century as the age of reason and contrast it with the age of myths. Yet a writing such as this is a challenge to such an assumption. We find a writer who probably belonged to the first century before the Christian era stating a clear-cut philosophy of reason that is just as potent today as it was 2,000 years ago. All right, so we'll skip down and we're going to go to the first chapter because, again, the whole point is reason, is courage. That's the keynote, right? But think about this. If they have these writings of courage, wouldn't they be able to put writings of fear in also? I was watching another interview, part interview, and it was this woman, Tasha Kay. She popped up, right? And she was talking to trans man. And she was asking him, you know, about the fact that the trans man was talking about the rights that they have, right, and how things have been elevated. And, it's, and And on top of it, it was a black. He was black, right? So what he said was, so you had this black trans man, and then you had this black woman. What he said was, he said, if me and my, if she assaults him, if the lady Tasha K assaults him, that's a hate crime. And the punishment is elevated. Whereas if the trans guy assaults Tasha K, that's domestic violence. And it's just a normal penalty. You know, it's not that hate crime carries like a minimum of 10 years or something like that. Whereas if that trans guy hits her, he'd probably get probation or something like that. Something to those effects, right? And her reasoning was, hold up, okay, I hear that and I understand that. But you call yourself a woman. Why don't you want the same rights for me, because I am a woman, why don't you want the same rights for me as you have? So he goes on and gets into this whole, well, you know, we being the trans people, were hung and we were killed and we did this, that, and another just because we were trans. As if those same things did not happen to black people just because they were black. They disassociate themselves with being black. They'd rather be trans than black. And you were born black. You came out of your mother's womb black. And these things still happening to black people. But again, they'd rather be associated with that, associated with being a Negro, which for me is like nuts. I don't get it. I really don't. But they put these emphases, the emphasis is not on color anymore. Now it's on gender. And they move in these, you know, you're looking at the shifts in things. Because if you do something wrong to one of them, it's a severe penalty. So now it's a shift in the law. But why though? Out of fear. They're afraid that, you know, if they go to the this, that, and the number, because, their whole thing is about deception. Their whole thing is about deception. They want what they want, and that's what they want. And they ain't worried about lying to get it. You know, with them being that's why I like Genuine. You know, it was a trans one tried to give him a kiss. Tried to kiss. He's like, whoa, why don't you kiss me? And I mean, he really got into it with him. You know, you are a man. No, don't kiss me. Don't hug me. No, don't do that. He was like, well, I'm just a girl. No, you are not a girl. You are a man. You know, and it didn't make a difference to that trans person that he was telling that genuinely, look, no. It didn't make a difference that he said no. They want what they wanted when they wanted it. Essentially, he was raping them or sexually assaulting them. But do you think he would get any jail time over that? Because, again, the laws are skewed to them now.
But anyway, chapter 1, 4th Maccabees, chapter 1. We're going to read what we're talking about as far as the reasoning goes, you know, and something I've really had to, you know, ponder when, you know, Abba brought it back to my attention. And, you know, and working on me and getting me together, what I need to do next. You know, it says, an outline of philosophy from ancient times concerning inspired reason. Civilization has never achieved higher thought. A discussion of repressions. Verse 48 sums up the whole philosophy of mankind. Philosophical in the highest degree is the question I propose to discuss. Nick, hold up. Let me see if I can send this out. Aki, can you send that out, please? If people don't have it. Give us a couple seconds, family. Sorry about that. I should have did that while I was talking. In case people don't have it. So, Keith. It says, starting now, it says, philosophical in the highest degree is the question I propose to discuss, namely whether the inspired reason is supreme ruler over the passions, and two, the philosophy of it, would I seriously entreat your earnest attention. But not only is the subject generally necessary as a branch of knowledge, but it includes the praise of the greatest of virtues, whereby I mean self-control. That is to say, if reason is proved to control the passions adverse to temperance, which is gluttony and lust, it is also clearly shown to be lord over the passions, like malevolence opposed to justice, and over those opposed to manliness, namely rage and pain and fear. You know, so, and that's one of the things that Abba, okay, so rage, pain, and fear are opposed to manliness, are opposed to what makes a man. No, but remember, the keynote is courage. The keynote is courage. Verse 4, it says, but some may ask, if the reason is master of the passions, why does it not control forgetfulness and ignorance? Their object being to cast ridicule. The answer is that reason is not master over defects inhering in the mind itself, but over the passions or moral defects that are adverse to justice and manliness and temperance and judgment. And its actions in their case is not to exasperate the passions, but to enable us to resist them successfully. So
Abba has inspired his word to control us. That's what he's saying, because it's the inspired reason. It's that word that has that breath within it. Right? So, it's chapter 1, we know, verse 6. We're starting on verse 6 now. And it says, I could bring before you many examples drawn from various sources where reason has proved itself master over the passions. But the best instance by far that I can give is the noble conduct of those who died for the sake of virtue, Eleazar and the seven brethren and the mother. For these all by their contempt of pains, yea, even unto death, prove that reason rises superior to the passions. I might enlarge here in praise of their virtues. They, the men with the mother, dying on this day we celebrate for the love of moral beauty and goodness. But rather would I felicitate them to the honors they have attained, for the admiration felt for their courage and endurance, not only by the world at large, but by their very executioners, made them the authors of the downfall of the tyranny under which our nation lay. They defeating the tyrant by their endurance, so that through them was their country purified. But I shall presently take opportunity to discuss this after we have begun with the general theory, as I am in habit of doing, and I will then proceed to their story, giving glory to the all-wise mighty one. Our inquiry then is whether the reason is supreme master over the passions. But we must define just what the reason is and what passion is, and how many forms of passion there are, and whether the reason is supreme over all of them. Reason I take to be the mind preferring with clear deliberation the life of wisdom. Wisdom I take to be the knowledge of things, divine and human, and of their causes. This I take to be the culture acquired under the law, through which we learn with due reverence the things of mighty one and for our worldly things of man. Now wisdom is manifested under the forms of judgment and justice and courage and temperance, but judgment or self-control is the one that dominates them all. But through it, in truth, reason asserts its authorities over the passions. And that's where people have an issue, because they lack the judgments of the Most High, is why we even speak on a lot of things. You know, why we even have a lot of issues. And I'm talking about even within myself, the distractions, like my brother said, like he said, I think he sent a text out this morning or yesterday, talking about how easily we are distracted. We're pulled away from things, you know, but we're supposed to be able to reason these things away. No, don't look at that. No, don't go there. No, don't get off the path. No, I'm not trying. And you know, the world then accepted these things. The world has accepted a lot of foolishness. And, you know, they fine with it. we're not allowed to accept all this foolishness. We have to use reason. We have to use judgment. We have to use temperance and wisdom. In other words, we have to use that word. But sometimes we're so distracted, we ain't even looking into the word. We ain't looking at the word. We ain't worrying about what the word says. You know? And I'm going to share with you, you know, when those things are going on, man, you connected. You still connected to the Most High. Your soul is just crying out to Him. Because you know what's going on. And you feel it within you. Your soul just crying out, Abba, don't leave me. Abba, don't abandon me. You feel like a lost kid. And He hear you. He's just waiting for you to make a move. Because at the end of the day, like my brother said, the choice is yours. Within, you know, a lot of this, the songs that we read, we have to do something. You know, one song that we read, it talks about building up the walls of Jerusalem. He said, you build up the walls of Jerusalem. You do it. You want your safe haven? Okay, build it. You want your peaceful, okay, build up your peace. You do this. You know, but a lot of times we don't want to. We get distracted and it stagnates. He says, verse 16 again, it says, now wisdom is manifested under the forms of judgment and justice. And courage and temperance. But judgment or self-control is the one that dominates them all. For through it, in truth, reason asserts its authority over the passions. But of the passions, there are two comprehensive sources, namely pleasure and pain. And either belongs essentially also to the soul as well as to the body. And with respect both to pleasure and pain, there are many cases wherein the passions have certain consequences. All right? And we're gonna leave it at that. But we're going to leave it at that with that idea. You have pleasure and you have pain that belong. These are your passions. Passion, something going to bring pleasure to you or something that's going to bring some type of harm to you. He said, but your self-control can rule over both of them. Excuse me. All right, we're going to read the book of Exodus, chapter 19. And this reads, Shemot, chapter 19, starting at verse 1. And this reads, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people from all the earth. Excuse me, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moshe came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yahweh commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moshe returned the words of the people unto Yahweh. So you have some people who just cannot control themselves because they knew who Moshe was. They saw all the miracles of Moshe. They saw all the miracles and all the things that Yahweh has done through Moshe. Right? But these folks, they get to the mount and they still want to act foolish. Hold on for one second. I'm back. So again, they saw everything that happened. They know what went down and everything, and they just couldn't control themselves. Right? So the next thing it says, verse 9, it says, and Yahweh said unto Moses, lo, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. And Moshe told the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Be ready against the third day. For the third day, Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people upon Sinai. And we know what happened next. You know, Moshe gave them instructions and all that. Exodus 20 happens. Abba came down, talked to all the people. Talked to Moshe, and the people heard it. Right? It says, we're going to drop down to verse 18. It says, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, it says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise and the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar. So they saw what was going on again because they delivered their little answer. Look, you know, everything Yahweh say we'll do. Okay, he heard you. So now he literally comes down, talks to Moses. They hear it. The response is, and they spake unto Moses, verse 19, speak you with us, and we will hear. Why? They just, fear came up in them. That fear came up in them. Because one, it was already, you can't hear the voice of the mighty one and live. That was already in the something, a belief. You can't hear the voice of the mighty one and live. So now Moshe is listening to this voice, you know, because specifically speaking, Yahweh was talking to Moshe. All these people hear it, and they scared. They crying now. See, they wish they didn't make that little, all of everything Yahweh say will do. They wish they would have controlled themselves. But all it would have took was a little bit of reasoning. You know, that core, that was called that inspired reasoning. You know, saying that, you know, to myself. Because a lot of times, you know, we get distracted. I get distracted. I get down. I get distracted. But I don't have a reason to. And I get down, not because things ain't happening. It's not happening fast enough. You know, it's not happening fast enough. Because like I said, I see things happening in my life. It's coming together slowly, slowly, slowly. But, you know, it's like, come on, Abba, come on, come on, come on, come on, Abba, come on. You know, it's, I'm ready to go. And he just holding me. Listen, son, listen, calm down. Listen. But you know, I'm an excited kid. But I need to listen. Need to wait. Because he's still instructing me. And then I get distracted. And then I feel some type of way. He says, and the people, verse 19, he says, and they said unto Moses, speak you with us, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Elohim is come to prove you, and that his fear, his respect, may be before your faces. That you sin not. Right? Now, let's go a little further to what is it? 28. I'm sorry. 32, Exodus 32. You know, because he went up into the mountains and all that, and got all these instructions. Nadab, Abihu went up a little. You know, Joshua went up a little further. You know, and all that, but after the speech and after the introduction of Yahweh to the nation, where they met their mighty one, where they heard him speak, we jump to Exodus 32, and the people, again, not reasoning, not using that holy intellect, the inspired reasoning, Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered unto themselves. Why? They got impatient. Things is taking a little too long for them. They chomping at the bit. Absolutely no different. Now, I didn't make a golden idol, but my mind went somewhere else. My mind started wandering. My mind got distracted. So in a sense, yeah, I became an adulterer. I dealt with idolatry. This says, and when the people saw, verse 1, Shemot chapter 32, and when the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. But as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's going on with him. We wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, no courage at all, didn't stand up for his boy, didn't stand up for his God, because Aaron knew He was the spokesperson. He was the spokesperson. Moses, you are mighty one. Aaron is your prophet. So he knew. Verse 2, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in your ears of your wives, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be your gods, O Israel, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offering and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go, get thee down, people which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Excuse me. They had turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded. They got distracted real fast. Real fast. It didn't take them long. It didn't take them very long to step out of my way, to not think about me. Pardon me. To not think about me. It didn't take them that long to do that. And sometimes, family, we're no different. We have our lows and we have our highs. And yes, we should congratulate ourselves when it's time to congratulate ourselves. Don't forget to give yourself that high five when you're on that ride. You know, you high five the Father. Give yourself that high five. Acknowledge, if you can acknowledge your low points, acknowledge your high points too. All right? So it's not just about kicking yourself when you're down, but you pat yourself on the back when you're up too. All right? Because you know when you're up. Don't forget that. And I'm, you know, just a reminder. We go through these things. We go, like as my brother Yariel say, he's just trying to stay on his surfboard. Sometimes he go up high, sometimes he's down low, but as long as he's on his surfboard. I can't see my brother as a surfer, though. He might be good at it. I don't know. But verse 8 again. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed there unto and said, these be your gods, O Israel, which I have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And Yahweh said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And Moses said, and Moses besought Yahweh. Or, and if you look up this word besought, right, in verse 11 in the Hebrew, it's actually a compound word. Right. Oh, okay. It says in the Hebrew, it's number in the Hebrew number 2470. That word is Khalil. Kalah. And it means to become weak or to become sick. It says it's a primitive root properly, to be rubbed down or warm, hence to be weak, sick, afflicted, or to grieve, make sick, also to stroke, and flattering, entreat. So he got real low for the Most High, right? He got real low, and for some reason, it says in this one, it has Moses. It says besought Yahweh, but in the King James, it has Khalil Palim. But when I look it up in the Hebrew, it has Khalil Moshe for whatever reason. That's technology, though. Okay, so because they moved Panim all the way over there. It has Bakayil Moshe et Panim in the Hebrew. But in the King James, it got something different. It has Panim right next to the Khalil part. That's why I said it was a compound word at first. But it might be an error on these inside of this this program. But either way, he got real low. He was like, well, wait a minute. I got to calm this man down. And, you know, the stroke, wait a minute. And it was like you rubbing your son here. Calm down. Calm down, brother. Calm down. Don't destroy them. Don't do this. You know, you're doing your best to wear off that sharpness of his face. You know, you're trying to, like they used to say on the little turn that frown upside down. That's what you're doing. You're stroking his ego. And that's what he does. He says, Moses besought Yahweh, his mighty one, and said, Yahweh, why doth your wrath wax hot against your people, which you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, see, piling it on. And he has to, for the sake of Israel. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swear by your own self and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And Yahweh repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people because of what Moshe did. He went to he used his reason. He reasoned away the anger of the Most High. First he asked him, why are you angry at him? Then he said, the other nations are going to say this. How are you going to look towards the other nations? And I find that that's a key point in turning away in anger. How other nations, how the Egyptians specifically will see Yahweh. Because everybody has in his mind that Abba, that he's not dealing with other nations, where we keep on giving evidences that he is. Then he goes right back to the promises he made. So 14 says, and Yahweh repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people. And Moshe turned and went down from the mountain. And the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both of their sides. On the one side and on the other where they written. And the tables were the work of Elohim, and the writing was the writing of Elohim graven upon the tables. And when Yahushua heard the noise, when Yahushua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome. So it don't sound like they winning or losing, bro. Nah, I'm listening to this. It don't sound like we're winning this battle. If they fighting, it don't sound like we winning or losing. He says, but the noise of them that singing do I hear? They down there partying. They ain't fighting, they partying. They having a good time down there. Verse 19, he says, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moshe's anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moshe said unto Aaron, What did this people unto you that you has brought so great a sin upon them? Straight to Aaron. What did they do to you that you brought such a great sin upon them? Because you know better. In other words, what was you thinking, Aaron? You knew better. Sometimes Abba just pop us. It ain't no, babying it up or no small punishment or whatever. Sometimes Abba just gonna pop us, pop. You knew better. Verse 22, it says, and Aaron said, let not the anger of my master wax hot. You know the people, that they are set on mischief. But they said unto me, make us mighty ones, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We don't know what's going on with him. And I said unto them, whosoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. That's right. Because whenever you put gold into fire, a golden calf just pop out. So, but that's him just not taking ownership, you know. It's just him. That's what we do. Yeah, we messed up. Sometimes we don't want to take ownership. We're going to reason it away. And he told him, look, I told him to bring the gold, this, that, and another. I told him that. He didn't say that he fashioned the calf. He skipped that part. He made sure he skipped that part. He says, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for I had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on Yahweh's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Yahweh, according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to Yahweh, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto Yahweh. Perhaps, or peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And Yahweh said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out my book. See, Moses went to him, and he like, man, I'm a better than all. If you're not going to forgive, Abba, when people came before Abba, he was forgiven the whole nation for the sake of one. I hope everybody get that. How everybody was saved for the sake of one. This one life, you know, this one particular life, and this is Moses, y'all. Whatever he did, whatever he asked of Abba, look, no, blot me out of the book. No, whoever's going to sin, that's where I'm blotting them out. That's who's going to get it. But because of that, the whole nation is saved because of the action of one. It says, verse 34, therefore now go and lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And Yahweh plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron had made. All right. So, family, when those distractions come, reason them away. You know, use the tools that Abba has given us. Use them. They at your disposal. You know, and I'm saying, family, I'm really talking to me. You know, but family, if it's, that's right, Aki. You are absolutely correct. Ariel, hallelujah, amen, another sign of Yahushua. That's right. You know, we all through there. You know, Bible will show us year after year, time after time. But use those tools. You know, use that divine intellect that Abba has given us. He used the power of reasoning within that word. You know. And like the word says, fight that good fight. Fight it to the end. And y'all. And don't hold back. Please don't hold back. If y'all have anything that y'all need, any type of help, any type of question, any type of doubt, anything y'all, I mean, I've heard that we was drift away. We've been drifting away and getting more separate from one another. I'm going to tell you what I told the guy the other day. If we want our situation to change, we have to do something different. We have to go about a different path than what isn't working. Because obviously, it ain't working if it's causing us to drift away from one another. Obviously, something is not right if it's causing us to drift away from one another. So we can continue to drift away from one another and just say, forget it. Or we can do something, try to tighten this back up. You know? Because I know what our father wants. Our father definitely don't want us to drift away from one another. He wants us to get back to that tight-knitness. And if that means sometimes we have to have real talks where the gloves come off, as long as it's done in love and respect, take the gloves off and have those talks. If it takes us to cry together, let's cry together. If it takes us to laugh together, let's laugh together. Whatever it is that needs to be done, let's start reasoning these things away. Using that divine knowledge that has been imparted on us. And again, if anybody needs anything at any time, put it out there so we can handle it. Don't wait on it, family. Don't wait on it. Put it on one of the 302 lines that we have, you know, and we'll find it eventually. But put it out there, family. Don't hold it in. All right? So this is your brother. I was about to say Chevelle. It's your brother, Bayuel. And that ends my rotation. Next week, we have our brother, Aha Bell. Abba bring forth, he's going to bring forth what Abba put on his mind, his heart, and continue to edify us and everything. And later on in the day, I believe either Kanukal or Yakael is teaching the day. And we're going to hear what Abba put on their heart. I hope I'm right, because I can't keep this. My memory is gone, but I can't keep the order sometimes. But either way, Kanukal, Todaki, you know, Kanukal teach. We're going to hear what Alva has put on his mind and his heart and continue to educate and uplift us, you know. So with that being said, we're going to close out. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you once again for the Shabbat day. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for maintaining us, giving us our daily needs, providing for us, maintaining our strength and our health, just doing everything that you do for us, Father, on a daily basis. We ask that you put your word, put your spirit in our brother Kanugal as he brings forth your word. Edify us through him. Make us better sons and daughters for you. Abba, we thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness and your patience and your long-suffering, Abba. We ask, Abba, that you just continue to unstiffen our neck, make our hearts more malleable. We don't want to be this hard-headed, stiff-necked people out. We want to adhere to your word, Father. We ask that you forgive our unbelief. We ask that when we fall short, Abba, that you just uphold us with your right hand. We ask, Abba, that we always be in right standings with you. We ask, Abba, that when we go to the right and go to the left, that you chastise us, bring us back into your good graces, bring us back upon your path. We ask that you continue to reveal throughout our lives and continue to reveal your word to us. Give us your truth and your knowledge, Abba. Excuse me. We ask, Father, that if anyone is traveling today, that you protect the roads, protect them from this weather, Abba. Pray that everybody, if anybody is traveling, that you get them there safe and get them home safe. Keep them safe out there. Father, we just thank you, give you praise, glory, and honor through your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.
I know he is. חברך, חברך, יולי, תותפות.